just hold on. Help is coming on the way. Help is on the way. There's going to be some things in life that you may be able to handle on your own, but when you come to the end of your ability, you need to look unto the hills from where your help comes from. Have you ever had a situation in your life that was so bad, you went to God and you didn't even know what to ask for? Anybody ever been there? I've been there. You didn't even know what to ask for. You didn't even know the words to say. Well, Psalms 121, it teaches us you don't always have to know what to ask. You just got to know where to look. You don't always got to know, have the words to say and the intellect to say and the right language to say to God. You just got to know where to look. I don't always know what to say, but I know where to look. I don't always know how to phrase it, but I always know where to look. I look into the hills. Where does my help come from? Somebody help me. My help comes from the Lord. See, David is not saying this here. David's not saying, I don't know where my help comes from. David is saying, he's telling someone, you're asking me where my help comes from. I'll tell you, my help comes from the Lord. See, David, saints, David was about to experience God's help in three different realms. And this is important to get a hold of before we go any further. David was about to experience God in three different realms. God's help in the past, God's help in the present, and God's help in the future. Help in the past, it produces an experience. Hold on to that thought. David had been through some things with God on his side. David had been through some experiences in life that he knew that God was the only one that got him through it. Anybody been there before? Anybody ever been through some things and when you were done and the storm was over, you look back and you said, it had to be God. God is the only one that got me through this. David, he knew what it was like to face lions and face bears and face giants. He got an experience with God that he knows he can trust God for help, not only from the past, but for the future as well. See, there's another story in your Bible. Jesus is on the banks of Galilee, and thousands of people come around to hear the man speak. And the disciples come up to Jesus and said, Lord, they are hungry. Send them home. Let them stop at Whataburger. Let them go eat. They're hungry. Let them go so they can eat. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, what have we got to eat? Hold on to that. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, hey, what do we have around here? 5 loaves, 2 fish. And they said, he said, now, we've got this. You go feed them. Think about this. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and you want me to feed them. Now, wait. Now, do the math for just a moment. There's 5,000 men alone, not counting their wives nor their children. And with 5 loaves, 2 fish, you want us to feed every one of them? Jesus says, yeah. That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment. I want to pause there. I want to pause for just a second because I want you to imagine that this is the first time you've ever heard this story. I want you to pause for just a moment, and I want you to think that I don't know how this story ends. I've never heard this story, but what I want you to do is I want you to treat this as it is your story. Treat this as it is your story. You've been unemployed longer than you wanted. You're in a financial strain. You've never faced this before. Whatever it is that you're facing today, you're facing one of many impossibilities. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. Miracles are distinguished or are disguised as impossibilities. Miracles are disguised as impossibilities. So when Jesus asks you to do something that is beyond yourself. He's not thinking of what you have. You're going to get this. He's thinking of the miracle that he's about to perform in your life. He's not thinking of what you have. Listen, he just disguises it. Jesus says, give me the bread. He blesses the bread. He gave it back to the disciples. They take it. They start giving it out. And the people, and the Bible says this, everyone is fed. Everyone is fed. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only story that is recorded in all four gospels besides the resurrection. And I began to look at that and I said, wait a minute, what? The feeding of the 5,000 is the only story that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, besides the story of the resurrection. So the thought is this, why is this miracle so important? The miracle is important. The story is important because he's teaching us something here. He's expecting for us to grab a hold of this. Dependence on Jesus, not on yourself, not on your resources, because the enemy wants you to get focused on your lack of and not on the one who can multiply. He don't want you to look at what you've got, because when you begin to look at what you've got, that's what gets you down and discouraged and feel defeated. But you've got to get your eyes on the one that, listen, that he's taking care of you in the past. He's taking care of you in the present. If he can do it in the past, he can do it in the present. Listen, what makes you think he can't do it in the future? So what am I saying? I'm saying this morning, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, listen, let your mind go back to the times that God was faithful to you. Let your mind be rest assured the time that God is faithful to you today. And rest assured that in the future, if you will hold on, help will come on the way. David said, where does my help come from? You're asking me. I'll tell you where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Well, David, how do you know? Because I remember what he's done in the past. I remember what he's brought me out of. I remember the time the bear came at me. I remember the time the lion came at me. I remember the time I had to defeat Goliath. I remember, and he's brought me through it then. He'll bring me through it today. And that's what God wants us to get our minds on. He's teaching us not to look at what you have, but who you have. Did you get that? That's a tweetable moment. Not look at what you have, but who you have. Who's on your side? Watch, immediately he told them to get into the boat. This is so cool, crazy. He fed the 5,000. Then they begin to pick up the extra, the leftovers. How many like leftovers? Okay, kind of on my own that one. I like leftovers, man. I don't mind them at all. I thought everybody's going to shout, wow, but nobody just, I feel awkward now. Okay, we'll cut that off the video. But immediately when they fed the 5,000, watch what happens. Jesus goes, he puts them in the boat. He tells them to cross over to the other side. He says, I'll be there. Watch this, hold it. I'll be there. Get in the boat, go over to the other side. I'll meet you there. That should be enough. That should be all that we have to hear. It's okay. He's going to meet us there. Jesus goes up into the mountain. He begins to pray. The test always follows the lesson. Remember that. I fed the 5,000. Now, get into the boat. I'll meet you on the other side. What comes next? That was the lesson. Here comes the test. They get into the boat. Watch what happens. The storm comes up. And, of course, what happens? They all begin to panic. They panic, and Jesus comes walking on the water. He gets in the boat. He calms the storm. I believe he probably rolled his eyes a few times and says, guys, really? Really? I told you you're going to make it. I told you, just keep rowing. But really? Really, y'all started panicking? The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 51. Are y'all getting this morning? And he got in the boat with the man, and he ceased. The wind ceased. There suddenly were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Everybody say stop. 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 Aren't we talking about the storm? But all of a sudden, we're going back, and in the middle of the storm, he comes up with this saying, and he says in verse 52, they did not get the message about the loaves. Stop. We've already passed the loaves, Jesus. We've already fed the 5,000 men alone, not counting the women nor the children. Now we're in a different storm. Now we're in a different situation. Now we're in the boat. Now we want you to come and help us. But you're still bringing up the story about the loaves? I thought it went the way that you wanted it to. Listen, you come in here week after week after week. You praise God. You get excited. You dance around. You clap your hands. I'm talking about you. You sing. You get so excited. You throw your babies across the room sometimes. And you get so excited. You sit back and you eat. You get your mouths full. Your belly's full of bread. You hear the word of God. But here's the problem. When the storm comes alone, you got the blessing, but you did not get the revelation. What am I saying? Praise God for what he's done. But when Monday morning the storm comes around, you've forgotten how God has blessed you already. He's done it in the past. He's done it in the present. But all of a sudden, the future storm that you find yourself in, you all of a sudden don't think that God can do it anymore. And God says, he put the brakes on. He says, have you forgotten about the loaves? Is this all right? Y'all getting this? He said, have you forgotten about how I blessed you? Have you forgotten about the 5,000 men alone that I multiplied the bread and the fish and I helped you? Have you already forgotten about that? See, yeah, you thought just during the bread and the fish multiplication, God was just feeding you. Listen, he wasn't just feeding you. He was teaching you. He's trying to teach you something. In the times in our lives, in the past, and you've went through it, I've been through it, all God's children have been through it. In times you felt like, God, you're asking the impossible here. But somehow God makes a way. Anybody ever seen it? You ever experienced it? Somehow God made a way. He wasn't just trying to bless you. He was trying to teach you a lesson. Trying to teach you a lesson for you to get in your mind to understand that if I'm the God of the past, I'm the God of the present. Keep holding your head up because I'll do the same in the future. Why? David said, where does my help come from? Asking me, it comes from the Lord. How do I know that? Because he's blessed me before. So what I'm saying is when you find yourself in a situation, when you find yourself in a present time of help, when you find yourself in a time of scratching your head and saying, but I don't understand what I'm supposed to do, and I don't understand how God is supposed to expect this of me, you've got to hold your head up and say, you know what? He's helped me before. He's going to help me again. If you believe that he's ever done it for you, let him know. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence today. See, when they were looking at feeding the people, Jesus took what little they had. He multiplied it. He showed them, as long as you're dependent upon me. Help, I've fallen, and I can't get up. He said, I want you to be just like that little old woman in every area of your life. I want you to be so dependent on me. Knowing that I'm going to help you. Knowing that I'm going to take care of you. So we've got to look at this. When he was feeding the people, they multiplied it. He showed them, as long as you're dependent on me, I'll take care of your needs. I'll take care of you. When they got in the storm, they were rowing to keep themselves afloat. Jesus comes walking on the water and says to them, you didn't get it, did you? You didn't get it. I'm trying to teach you. That when you had bread in your mouth, that if I can supply that for you, then I'm able to take care of everything else you go through. Listen, God never blesses you to a level that makes him unnecessary to you. Do you hear that? God never blesses you to a level that he becomes unnecessary. He always wants to keep you at a place where our lives are always dependent upon Him. I feel the Holy Ghost over that one this morning. Saints, you've got to hear today. They got out in the storm. The waves were slapping them in the face. And what happened? It washed away the experience that they just had of feeding the 5,000. The waves were coming in. It washed away the experience. The waves of worry have a way of washing away your experiences with God. If you're not careful, the waves of fear of life and of fear have a way of washing away the experiences that you had with God. And all that you can see is what's in front of me now. And you forget all about the past that He's brought you through and the present. All you can see is we're not going to make it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, hold on. Help is on the way. Hold on. Help is on the way. You see, you forgot what He brought you out of because of the waves of life. You forgot everything that He's done for you because of the pressures of life. Somebody this morning, somebody needs to thank God for the times that He showed you that He's a provider, and ask God, Lord, never let me forget the times that You've taken care of me. Somebody ought to thank God for the times that He set you down and He showed you that He's taken care of every one of your needs. I wish somebody this morning would take about 20 seconds, stand up on your feet, put your hands together, and if He's ever done anything for you, if He's ever blessed you in any way, if He's ever pulled you through some hard times, if He's ever blessed you financially, if He's ever blessed your home, if He's ever healed your body, somebody give Him praise this morning. Come on, take about 10 seconds this morning. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands, lift up your heart, and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We need to thank God for the miracles. We need to thank God for the times that He's healed your body. Thank God for the times that He's delivered you. Times that He's pulled you out just in the nick of time. See, there's an old church song that used to go, said that He didn't bring us this far to leave us, and He didn't teach us to swim just to let us drown. He didn't build His home in us just to move away. No, He didn't pick us up to let us down. Hear me today, your problem may seem big, but that just means the miracles are getting bigger. I preach all by myself right now. I feel so good in the presence of the Lord. The miracles are getting bigger if our dependency continues to be on Him. See, your problem may seem big, but that just means the miracles are bigger. Why? Because help is on the way. See, your miracle yesterday is showing that God can provide for you when today. And if He can do it today, rest assured, He can do it tomorrow. And if He can do it tomorrow, hold on tight. Your help is on the way for next week, next month, next year, whenever you have need of it.
Thank You, Lord.
The presence of God in this house today. Help is on the way. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because He's pulled me through it in the past. And He's provided for me. And He showed me His goodness. He showed me His mercy. So I know that today His hand is still good. His miracles are still working. I know that today He can still do anything that I have a need of today. But I want to say something to us in close this morning. And then we're going to open these altars and I'm going to give you an opportunity to come. See, we are so good. We've got this church thing all figured out. We know church. If you grew up in church, you probably played church. as a kid.
Yeah.
Anybody else here play church? See, the church that I played as a kid, it was Baptist. So I didn't have the demonic. I didn't have the, you be the man that runs around the church because the Holy Ghost has got a hold of you. I didn't have that. I put on my mama's bathrobe. And I stood behind the counter, and that was my pulpit. My wife grew up Pentecostal. She was the demon-possessed one all the time when she played church. Wonder why? We've got church so figured out. We know exactly what to do when it's church time. We know church so good now. We're so good at hiding that I'm having an issue in my life. We're so good at finishing this part of the service because we say, if I don't move, if I don't respond, eventually church will be over. And then I'll feel good, and I'll shake hands, and I'll go to the buffet. And everything will be good. I'll come back tonight, and nobody will know that I have needs. It's all good. We're so good at this part of the close of the service saying, even though I have a sickness in my body, pretending like you don't have a sickness in your body. You're good at that. But this morning, I say this, don't be good at that. Be open to the fact that this is the day that God can heal your body. How do you know that, preacher? Because if you look back, you've probably seen times where he's done it before. And if he's done it there, he can do it again. We're so good at church, we think that, you know what, that when the altar time comes, if I don't respond, that nobody will know that I have financial needs in my life and in my home. Nobody will know that I have marriage issues. Nobody will know that I have problems with my children. I want everybody to know and think that they glow in the dark when they go to bed and when they pray. But I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know I'm having problems with my children. We're good at church. I'm saying we're so good that we don't want anybody to know that I've been hurt. And that I've walked in this door this morning and I'm hurt. We don't want anybody to know that fear is controlling our lives. We don't want anybody to know that I wake up in the middle of the night with fear. I even go to bed and sleep at night worried and have fear. We don't want anybody to know this morning that worry and stress is dominating my life and my thoughts. It's getting me to the point that I'm sick. We don't want anybody to know that I have trust issues. We don't want anybody to know I have health problems. But here's what I say this morning. Help is on the way. Help is here this morning. But it's up to you. It's up to you to respond that whatever you have need of today, to believe that God is able. God is able. We're going to sing a song this morning. And as we're singing the song this morning, if you're here and you say, preacher, I feel like this morning that I'm in a situation that's impossible. I feel like this morning that I'm in a situation that I'm tired of. I'm stressed over. Fear has gripped me. Worry is controlling me. I've got issues in my life that I need God, and I know that today He can do it. So, preacher, I'm not playing church this morning. I want God to be real in my life this morning. And I want to be real with God this morning. And I want to come to this altar this morning. And I want to throw up my hands this morning. And I want to ask God to do the impossible in my life. I want God to do something special in my home. I want God.